The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, I'm Doris Hyde for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Vision News. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the NNO, August 22nd, Letters to the Editor. There's an article, a letter to the editor about the scooters blocking sidewalks. From the AP on August 27th, an article about Lex Gillette at the Paralympics. From CNN, August 31st, an article about David Brown. From CBS Sports, August 27th, an article about teen swimmers breaking records. From Play.Google, Voxmate app for the blind. From Business Insider, Toyota stops automatic buses in Tokyo. From Forbes.com, two articles, The Apple Loop, iPhone Leak, and more. And on August 28th, Windows 10 hack goes viral. Let's get started. First up, from Letters to the Editor, August 22nd, Raleigh scooters. Once again, the sidewalks of Raleigh are not safe due to the fact that the scooters are back. Once again, those who use the Lime, Bolt, and Spin scooters for short or intermediate trips are leaving them on Raleigh sidewalks when finished. They're also riding down the sidewalks at a high rate of speed. I have nothing against users of this mode of transportation. My concern is that of pedestrian safety, particularly for the blind community of which I'm a member, and the disabled community. It seems to me that law enforcement could find ways to encourage scooter users to travel on the streets and not leave scooters on sidewalks. I also wonder why there are not places for these scooters to be docked, just as there are places for bikes to be docked. The Raleigh City Council must hold the scooter companies accountable. My heart is with those who want to reduce their carbon footprint. We all need to have a heart for safety as well. Signed, Robert Parrish of Raleigh. From the AP, August 27th, an article by Pat Graham published in the NNL sports section. The popular black and gray t-shirt featuring the mantra of blind long jumper Lex Gillette currently remains sold out on his website. Just temporarily, though. After the Paralympic Games in Tokyo, the 36-year-old from North Carolina vowed to make a new batch with his trademark slogan emblazoned across the front. No need for sight when you have a vision. Maybe even in a new color option, gold, because that's one color he's definitely envisioning. In four previous trips to the Paralympics, he's taken home a silver medal each time. Basically, the only box I haven't checked yet, said Gillette, who competes Friday in Japan, so it would definitely mean a lot to win. On the eve of his fifth Paralympic appearance, Gillette took a moment to reflect. On being blind by around 10 years old, on discovering the long jump through a gym class, on traveling to the world thanks to track, on winning numerous awards, on setting the world record in the visually impaired classification of his signature event. I've been able to do a lot of awesome things, he said. Recurrent retinal detachments. That's how his blurriness at 8 was explained. Not just random, too. No trauma, no sickness, no accident. He went through 10 operations in an effort to save his vision. After the final one, the doctors broke the news. His sight wasn't going to be saved. It was almost by coincidence he discovered track. He went to school with sighted kids, and one of the activities in a gym class happened to be the standing long jump. He took his first leap and had no idea how far he jumped. This should have been clue number one. It was far. The cheers of his classmates. The place was literally going bonkers, Gillette recalled. I just jumped through the roof. One of his teachers, Brian Whitmer, took him to the track and taught him the mechanics of the long jump. He also planted a thought in his mind, the Paralympics. He was like, you could travel the world, you can break records, you can win medals, said Gillette, who sang at the national anthem at various events, including a San Diego Padres game. He helped me to see my potential, a potential that's included setting the world mark in the T11 category with a leap of 6.73 meters, 22 feet, 1 inch. He's earned medals upon medals, including silver at the 2004 Paralympic Games, silver again 4 years later in Beijing, silver once again in London, and silver for a fourth time in Rio de Janeiro. That runner-up finish in Rio, though, stuck with him because he was in gold medal shape. But he struggled to hear the clapping of his guide, coach, friend, Wesley Williams, down the runway over the crowd noise. That won't be a factor in Tokyo, where there are no fans due to the coronavirus pandemic. Still, he and Williams developed a 15-stride approach so that Gillette would be a little closer. They've been a team for the last 14 years. They train together 5 times a week just to be on the same page for a competition. This is how it works. Before a jump, Williams walks with Gillette to the starting point. Then Williams heads back near the sand pit and waits. Once Gillette takes off down the runway, Williams claps to guide him along, screaming, "Fly, fly, fly, fly," as Gillette approaches the takeoff point to let him know he's on the right path. He'll also holler, "Stop," if Gillette veers off course. Gillette knows immediately if it's a good leap, too, simply by walking to the back of the pit. If it only takes a stride to get to the back of the pit, you have an idea. "All right, I think this was something good," said Gillette, who trains at the Elite Athlete Training Center in Chula Vista, California. Williams has become a little bit of everything to Gillette, teammate, coach, and friend. Gillette's success is his success, even if Williams hasn't received a Paralympic medal as a long jump caller. "I got into this game understanding the role, and we didn't start out getting medals. Lex and I have gone on to win a ton of competitions, and I feel just as awarded as he does," Williams wrote in an email. "We are aiming to let the powers that be know that it's not just what you see at championships in regards to the guides. We are literally a part of the process from beginning to end, putting in the sweat equity and fitness standards to propel the athlete to personal bests, world records, and the medal stand." Added Gillette, "I would love for Wesley to be able to look back on a medal and say, 'Hey, we did this together.' Because as it stands right now, he only has the memories, and memories are fantastic. But to accompany those memories with a medal, that would be amazing." Away from the track, Gillette's a die-hard Carolina Panthers fan. He listens to the broadcasts and then post-game shows. Christian McCaffrey even sent him a jersey with the message, "Keep inspiring," written on the back. Gillette also knows the different voices, which is why he instantly recognized the caller who dialed him just before the U.S. Paralympic trials to wish him luck, former Panthers coach Ron Rivera, now with Washington. "That was some really great motivation for me," Gillette said. "That might be some of the wings that I need to fly to the gold in Tokyo." About his mantra, "No need for sight when you have a vision," Gillette came up with it in 2008 simply as a way to inspire. "It was a perfect illustration of what I believed my life to be," Gillette explained. "It doesn't matter if I have eyesight. I just have to see something greater, see something bigger, and then do everything in my power to bring that into reality." From CNN.com, August 31st, "The possibilities are endless on how fast we can go," says Paralympian David Brown, the world's fastest blind athlete. It was in the stands of Beijing's Bird Nest Stadium that David Brown's dreams of a career in track and field started to take hold. Brown, who has been blind since the age of 13, remembers taking in the spots and colors of the Paralympic Games in Beijing as his friends dictated what was happening down on the track. "I'm like, hey, some of these guys have the same sight that I do, it sounds like," Brown recalls to CNN Sport. "They're down there running and they're doing this, and I'm like, oh, this is possible. I can do this." That was in 2008, but fast forward 13 years, and Brown is now preparing to defend his crown in the 100-meter T11 event at the Paralympics in Tokyo. Aside from winning a Paralympic gold medal in 2016, the 28-year-old Brown also lays claim to being the first totally blind athlete to run under 11 seconds in the 100-meter, with his classification record of 10.92 seconds. But the transition from fan in the stands to record-breaking athlete didn't happen overnight. Growing up, Brown turned his hand to many sports, basketball, wrestling, goalball, and volleyball, to name a few, before settling on the track. He raced in 660-meter events with the track team at the Missouri School for the Blind in St. Louis, gripping a clothesline-like wire that ran alongside the track for assistance, and from there gradually transitioned to running with a guide. "I was in very big denial of my sight, which is one thing. So there were times when I would run and I didn't run with a guide because I thought I could see," Brown says. He was diagnosed with Kawasaki disease at 15 months old, which resulted in glaucoma and ultimately losing his years later. Brown continues, I was able to see well enough to not necessarily stay in my lanes when I was racing, but I was able to see well enough to stay on the track. So that's how I got through a lot of things for a while. I didn't start running with a guide officially until I was 17 years old. Like a three-legged race. Running with a guide is a difficult art to master. Athletes in Brown's T11 category, which is those with very low visual acuity and or no light perception, run on a tether. The guide's role is to make sure competitors stay in lane and know how the race is progressing. We're running like a three-legged race, Brown explains. They're having to adapt to me and my running style and to pretty much how fast and slow I'm going, my body language. They have to be, one, in great condition, two, very fast, three, to be able to synchronize their steps with how fast or how slow I'm moving my arms and my legs. Making those adaptations is very vital. Untethered, a film released August 3rd and produced by Swiss sportswear brand On, tells the story of Brown and his relationship with guide runner Jerome Avery. Avery, a top sprinter in his own right, finished outside the Olympic qualifying spots at the U.S. track and field trials in 2000 and 2004. He has been a guide runner with U.S. Paralympics since 2004. An injury to Avery in the build-up to this year's games means he and Brown won't run together in Tokyo. A big challenge for Brown as he looks to defend his Rio gold, given he and Avery have competed together for 7 years. It will be different. It will be a big shift and a change, Brown said, of the prospect of competing with a new guide. But I'm looking forward to seeing what happens, honestly. Everything has a tempo. Referenced in Untethered is Brown's love for music. He says he has an electric taste, eclectic taste, including classical, country, gospel, jazz, and reggae, and plays drums and piano at his local church. In the film, he meets Tariq Trotter, the rap artist better known as Black Thought. To an extent, it's an interest that benefits Brown's athletic career and the practice of running with a guide. Everything has a tempo, you know, and there's a certain beat that we will, I guess, go to in the sense of running, he says. Of course, you see it in the track room. They say, oh, he's taken 234 steps a minute, or something like that. You could think of it like beats per minute. It can help get on the same page as far as synchronizing goes. Brown adds, however, that using a tether is the best way for a runner and guide to synchronize. Say, I'm off a step and they're on. You won't feel that or you won't even notice that if you don't have the tether on, he says. The more you have the tether on, the more you do with the tether, whether it be a slow tempo or a fast tempo, the better. Lowering records. The track in Tokyo's Olympic Stadium is a favorable one for sprinters, yielding fast times during the Olympic Games. Brown's world record could be threatened in the coming weeks as the Paralympics get underway, although he remains unfazed by the idea of one of his rivals beating his time. If somebody breaks my world record, that means our classification is getting faster, and that's the furthering of the sport, he says. And that's what it's all about at the end of the day. I was just the catalyst for all this. Having changed guides in the build-up to the Paralympics, Brown has tempered expectations going into the games. But that's not to say that fast times and more world records aren't on his mind further down the line. We're training for the future, says Brown. We're already looking at Paris. Our training has not been where I guess you could say technically games training would be, so I don't know about Tokyo necessarily, but next year or the following year after that, that's where I'm saying, hey, look out. Because it's going to get pretty lethal over on this end. We have a lot of great guides that we are training up. If everything keeps going in the direction that it's going, the possibilities are endless on how fast we can go and how low we can lower this thing. From CBSSports.com, two teenage Paralympians on Team USA break world records in swimming events. Anastasia Pagonis and Gia Pergolini, who are roommates in Tokyo, won gold in the S11 400-meter freestyle and S13 100-meter backstroke, respectively, by Waji Albarudi, August 27th. U.S. Paralympic swimmers Anastasia Pagonis and Gia Pergolini, both 17, each claimed gold in world-breaking world record-breaking fashion on Thursday. Pagones won America's first gold medal of the Tokyo Paralympics in the women's S11 400-meter freestyle, while Pergolini placed first in the S13 100-meter backstroke. The first time Paralympians can bask in their medal-winning glory together, as they've become fast friends while rooming together in Tokyo. I remember waking up this morning and Pagones was like, "This is the day, Gia. You got this," Pergolini told NBC after her race. And I said, "You got this too." And we just love each other and love supporting each other. The Paralympians' mutual support led to two record-shattering performances. Pagones broke the world record she set herself at the U.S. Paralympic swimming trials with a time of 4:54.49, 10 seconds faster than the silver medalist Lisette Bruinsma of the Netherlands. Pergolini broke her event's world record twice within a 10-hour span, first in her preliminary heat with a 1:05.05 and then again in the final with a 1:04.64. "I'm so excited we're able to be here, and we're both world record holders." Pagones, who completely lost her sight to genetic retina disease and autoimmune retinopathy at age 14, told the Olympic Information Service. Pagones is competing in the S11 class, which is for Paralympians with the greatest visual impairments. Pergolini, who began losing her sight to Stargardt disease as a kindergartner, is classified as an S13 Paralympian, meaning she's visually impaired but not to the extent of S11 and S12 athletes. After her record-breaking win, a dancing and medal-toting Pagones posted a TikTok with the caption, "My back hurting from carrying my gold medal." She has over 2 million followers on the social media platform. Pagones can add to that weight on her back these Paralympics, as she's yet to compete in the 50-meter freestyle, 100-meter freestyle, and the 200-meter individual medley. Pergolini is slated to race in the 50-meter freestyle. From BusinessInsider.com, Toyota suspends use of its self-driving buses after one accidentally hit a visually impaired athlete in Tokyo's Paralympic Games Village, by Francis Augustin, posted August 27th. Toyota suspended its autonomous bus services after an accident left an athlete injured at the Tokyo Paralympic Games. Toyota President Akio Toyoda publicly apologized to the athlete following the accident. The incident brings up questions around self-driving technology, specifically about how the tech is used in communities with disabilities. 10 Things in Tech, Get the Latest Tech Trends and Innovations. That's an embedded hot link, I'm sorry. Toyota suspended its fleet of battery electric self-driving buses Friday after an accident in the Tokyo Paralympic Games Village injured an athlete. "We would like to express our sincerest apologies to the individual that was injured due to this unfortunate collision, and we wish them a speedy recovery," Toyota said in a statement. "We would also like to apologize for any inconvenience caused to those who use our mobility vehicles in the athlete's village." A Toyota spokesperson told Insider a schedule for resuming e-Palette transportation has not been determined. Several Japanese news outlets identified the victim as Japanese Paralympic judoka Aramitsu Kitazono, who is visually impaired. The e-Palette bus was turning right at a T-intersection when the athlete entered a pedestrian crosswalk at a T-intersection near the Olympic residential dining halls, Reuters said. Though there were operators providing backup support for the bus, Kitazono was struck by the bus moving 1 to 2 kilometers per hour, leaving him with several bruises but conscious, and he was taken to the nearby medical clinic to recover, police told the Japan Times. The two bus operators and 5 passengers on board the bus were not harmed, they added. Toyota's e-Palette buses were commissioned to transport athletes both at the 2020 Tokyo Olympic and Paralympic Games. The white box-shaped buses are mostly autonomous, but they still rely on 1 to 2 operators to ensure additional safety. The city began rolling out the vehicles for public testing months before the Olympic Games. Toyota says it will be fully cooperating with the authorities to determine the cause of the accident, as well as conducting its own thorough investigation into the accident, coordinating with the Tokyo Organizing Committee of the Olympic and Paralympic Games to prevent further accidents. "It shows that autonomous vehicles are not yet realistic for normal roads," Toyota President Akio Toyoda said in an interview, which Reuters reported following the accident. Autonomous vehicles continue to display glaring safety problems that can affect the well-being of their passengers. Though mobility-facing companies are making headway with self-driving vehicles, industry leaders like Elon Musk say their technology is still not great. Experts previously told Insider that we are still decades away from seeing fully autonomous vehicles on roads, citing infrastructure and connectivity issues. It is also unknown whether these types of vehicles have difficulty operating in environments when there are people with disabilities around. Insider reached out to the Tokyo Organizing Committee, which was unable to provide more information on the athlete's status. From play.google.com, VoxMate, all-in-one app for the blind. A gesture-based app for the visually impaired that talks to you. With VoxMate, you can immerse yourself in the imaginary world of an audiobook, participate in a family chat on Telegram, play four colors with friends around the world, learn about topics related to blindness, and more. Three reasons to download VoxMate. Gesture-based. VoxMate was designed with a blind-first approach, so any visually impaired user can learn to use the app within minutes. You navigate primarily with four one-finger swipe gestures, all in one app. With VoxMate, you get access to a number of audio-first apps. Some of them are audio interfaces to popular services like YouTube and Reddit, and some original ideas like the audio form. Today, there are 30 apps, and we're determined to get that number into triple digits. Find the full list below. Fully accessible. VoxMate is a self-voicing app that doesn't require TalkBack knowledge. However, it feels very much at home alongside TalkBack. You can enable a special TalkBack compatibility mode and use VoxMate with two-finger swipes. What's included? Audiobooks. Find your next audiobook from various audiobook providers and play it directly in the app. Screen text, OCR. Scan documents with your camera and have the content read to you. News. Catch up on the latest news from a curated list of news providers. Podcasts. Choose your favorite shows from more than 500,000 podcasts. Radio. Create your curated station list based on 120,000 streaming radio stations. Phone. Make phone calls. YouTube. Watch educational or entertaining videos on any topic you can think of. Telegram. Send instant messages to your friends or join themed channels. Game Center. Play online games with people around the world and add them to your friends list. Four Colors. Play a game with other VoxMate users where you match cards by color or number. Reddit. Browse, post, and comment on a popular social news aggregation and discussion site. File Player. Play audio files stored on your device or an SD card. Knowledge Village. Henshaw's Knowledge Village is a home for articles, videos, tips, tricks, and useful information for visually impaired people. Notes. Narrate your favorite recipe. Describe your route through the mall. Or keep an audio diary. Sudoku. Play the most popular logic-based number puzzle. MathDoku. Fill a grid with numbers in an arithmetic and logic puzzle similar to Sudoku. Quiz. Play a trivia game to test your fact memory in different categories. Forum. Ask us and other users anything, be it about VoxMate or life. And by the time you download the app, the list might have grown. Set up remotely. Use the my.voxmate.com portal to personalize VoxMate. Log in to online audiobook libraries, authorize social media accounts, and more. Changes you make on the portal are instantly synced to VoxMate on your phone. This way you can configure VoxMate yourself, or if you prefer, ask your loved ones to help you with the settings remotely. Early access pricing info. VoxMate is in the early access phase. You can download VoxMate for free and use it for free for a limited time per week with no strings attached. To get unlimited access, you will need a subscription. Prices may vary slightly by country. Your subscription to VoxMate will automatically renew unless you disable auto-renewal at least 24 hours before the current period expires. Manage your subscription through your Google Play account settings. Payment will be deducted from your Google Play account. Read more about our privacy policy at https://voxmate.com/privacy. Have ideas? We want to build a community around VoxMate that helps each other and helps us steer the app in the right direction. If you have ideas to share, please email us at info@voxmate.com. Send a feedback message from within the app or follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/VoxMateApp, and on Facebook, facebook.com/VoxMateApp. From Forbes.com, an article by Davey Winder, Windows 10 warning for millions as new hack goes viral. Just when you thought things couldn't get much worse for Windows 10 users after a miserable few weeks of security issues, from print nightmare through to Serious Sam and even a potential Windows Hello facial recognition bypass, they only went and did. A security researcher was so fed up with being ignored when reporting a shockingly simple hack that could give any user admin rights to on a Windows 10 computer that he tweeted the zero-day exploit, a tweet that quickly went viral. Annoyed security researcher discovers simple Windows 10 zero-day. I spoke with the security researcher who only wants to be known by the Twitter handle of J0NH4T, who told me how the hack came to light. I noticed the Razer Synapse installer was bundled with driver installs via Windows Update while using the mouse, John4T says. I was annoyed by this behavior and decided to take a deeper look. Unfortunately, what that look revealed was an issue that's shockingly trivial to exploit. All it took for anyone to exploit this vulnerability was to plug in a Razer mouse, or the dongle it uses, and then shift right from the Explorer window opened by Windows Update to choose a driver location and open a PowerShell with complete system, or admin if you prefer, rights. And it got worse, as an attacker would also be able to use the hack and save a service binary that could be hijacked for persistence and executed before the user even logs on during the boot process. I think Microsoft should take a look in the mirror on how they manage driver updates, John4T says, whilst appreciating the fine line of balancing user experience and usability involved. Should Windows Update solely provide drivers so the device works at a minimum level and the user goes out of their way to download additional software, the researcher says, adding that this is a somewhat dangerous and interesting attack vector. I reached out to Microsoft regarding the privilege escalation issue, and a spokesperson told me we are aware of recent reports and we are investigating the issue. While this issue requires physical access to a targeted device, we will take any necessary steps to help protect customers. The exploit elephant in the Razer hack room. Ah, the physical access elephant in the exploit room. This does, of course, take the criticality of the vulnerability, the ability for an attacker to execute the hack, down a level or three. Even John4T admits as much, telling me, I honestly thought from an exploit coolness level that this was kind of lame. It is reasonable to assume that if you have physical access, you can get admin privileges one way or another. However, a friend of Straight Talking Cyber, Mike Grover of OMG Cable fame, warns that the OMG cable adds the implication that an attacker doesn't need to be physically present, having found that by spoofing a vulnerable device USB IDE, the cable can be used to exploit the flaw, Grover says. So long as they have a way to let a USB cable slip into the target location, then it's game back on. What's more, Grover has warned that there are tons of devices that may be vulnerable and thus lead to the same potential Windows 10 hacking outcome. How many are tons? We have a list of around 2,500 possible devices, Grover has confirmed, and suggests these can be tested using an OMG cable or trusted USB device emulator and penetration testing tool Bash Bunny. I ran out of time for this week's version of Vision News. Be sure to listen next week. I hope you enjoyed it. I'm Doris Hyde, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Vision News is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have comments or questions, call us at 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading.